Praise God. The church name is irrelevant. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus' name. Nothing can be done without the name of Jesus. He said to everything that we are to do, we are to do it in the name of the Lord. Right? Praise God. While you're standing in honor to the word of the Lord, let's focus on Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 15. A little short reading with a long meaning. And we have been in the fire for the last couple of weeks, and the Spirit of the Lord has been here. Didn't even get to preach this morning with the Holy Ghost moving, people being healed and filled with the Spirit and all of that. And so tonight, I really would like to pull the family together and have a word with you over the Scripture. And so let's look at Matthew 25, verse 15. This is when the talents were being dispersed. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, to another he gave 1 talent. To every man, and this is what I wanted you to see, according to his several ability. According to their ability is how they passed out the talent. And straightway took his journey. He entrusted them with what he wanted them to have, and went away. They knew he was coming back, and that when he came back, he was going to be expecting them to have done something with their talent. Now, whether it was the 5-talent person, or the 2-talent person, or the 1-talent person. You say, well, Pastor, what am I? It doesn't matter. Let's just do what our hands find to do for the glory of God. Amen. We can't fret over what God's will is for us out yonder in the future. Just know this. If you'll do the small things right, he'll make sure you get to do some big things. I don't know if I've done big things or not. But I just know this, that whatever our talents are, God will bless that if we'll go at it wholeheartedly. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we endeavor to preach the call to the ordinary. The call to the ordinary. Amen. Praise God. Now, whether we want to even think about it or not, from the pulpit, can I just say, from the pulpit to the pew, from me to you, I know we don't have pews, but it rhymed. Amen. And let me just say, I don't know who is or who isn't. But out of a crowd this large, there's bound to be some in-between folks. Average folks. Ordinary folks. Well, let's see what God thinks about the ordinary. Holy Ghost, we look to you right now, and we pray the will of God tonight. We pray the presence of God. We pray the purpose of God. We pray the touch of God, the anointing of God, the grace of God, the mercy and the hope of God. Bless every individual in the house of God tonight. Your spirit to move and your power to bless. The wonderful name of the Lord to be exalted in the name of the Lord. Somebody shout amen. God richly blesses your seated just now. Amen. The call to the ordinary. Amen. There was a man in the middle. There was a person in the middle. There's a 5-talent man. There's a 1-talent man. There's this little 2-talent man right there tucked in the middle. The man in the parable that receives 2 talents suffers somewhat from his position in the parable because he stands between a conspicuous success and or a dramatic failure. I mean, the man with the 5 talents doubled up. And the man with the 1 talent, well, he buried his. And the 2-talent man is stuck in the middle of all that. Yet he's probably the one who deserves our attention because he's the average person. He's so much like so many of us. He belongs to the largest family in the world, and that is to the ordinary people. Abraham Lincoln once said, God must really love ordinary people because he made more of them than any other kind of people. And when we're young, it's very hard for us to admit that we might be part of that family. For it's the prerogative of youth to believe that its true place is among those who do great things. But the years can put most of us in our places. We grow into the discovery that we are just ordinary. And besides all of that, no matter what we accomplish for God, don't we want to do more? And so chances are what we do may not match someone else. But let it be known that what we do will be matched with the will of God. And that's good enough for me. We grow into this discovery that we may just be ordinary. It's a very critical time in a person's life when his limitations are brought home to him. And to safeguard against some of the perils, Jesus has lovingly included this man in the parable and showed that he might also receive a well done. That's all that matters. That is all that matters. A life lived for God, a life lived for your family and the church is not wasted. Ever, no matter who you are. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's look at the sin of the two talented men. We all know that the five talented man has his special temptations. What are the temptations of a five talented man? Well, there's vanity. He can get all puffed up and feel prestigious and like the world owes him something because he's so great and he is so good. My wife and I preached. I'm just going to tell you who it was. We preached for Jeff Arnold in Gainesville, Florida. And about the whole week we were there, we were never invited to their house. Usually as an evangelist and his wife, especially if he don't have monsters for kids, he got invited to the pastor's house. Well, we didn't even have any kids, so we got invited to the pastor's house. Finally, toward the end of the week, and we found out why we were not invited the first part of the week, because they had just had an evangelist, and they went by their house. Sister Arnold had a child to prepare for school and get up early and all of this. They had their life to live, and yet they invited the evangelist over anyway, and the evangelist and his wife went over and they served them on paper plates. And the evangelist says, we don't eat out of paper plates. I'm sorry. And so the whole week we had to suffer because of what that knucklehead did. Hey, I don't care where it is. When we evangelized, we slept in kitchens. They put a curtain over the door so no one could look in the kitchen and see the evangelist and his wife sleeping. And we stayed in evangelist quarters that they found us a cardboard box and made a coffee table for us. We preached in one place all week long, and at the end they paid us with a big bucket of chicken. It just didn't matter. Amen. We're just ordinary folks out here traveling, preaching the gospel, hoping that someone receives the Holy Ghost. And whether you're a five-fold talented person or a two-talented person, we need to understand that we're no greater, no smaller, no lesser than anyone else in this kingdom, because the ground is level at the base of the cross and everyone stands nose to nose and toe to toe. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, but the lesser gifted person has a temptation also, and that is envy. Envy. If only I had their talent, I could do something for God. Or if only I had their chances, I could really, really make a good go at it. Many would do the great things if they were capable, but they failed to do the smallest things. The cure for envy is to read very, very carefully this particular parable. This man only added two talents to his original total. That doesn't seem like much, but there's not one syllable of difference between the greetings that the two talented man received and the five talented man and what he received. The two talented man did what he could, and the one with more did not do any more. It is a waste of time for two talented people to envy those who have five talents. The blessing of helping the work forward does not wait on the perfect person. It just is waiting on the individual that says, I will. I will. I'm going to confess something to you right now, and I hope that our SALT team, amen, servant and leadership and training, I hope that they'll forgive me. Amen. But I'm just going to tell the rest of this assembly. When our leadership met the last time, I said the only thing I'm concerned about talking about tonight is this, is that between here and the next meeting we have next month, when we get together to learn how to be leaders, to learn how to lead the rest of the church, to learn how to be an example, to learn how to pray as we ought to, fast and seek God as we ought, to be humble, to be excited about our position. The only thing I'm concerned about tonight discussing with you is that between this meeting and the next meeting, that we all of us have at least one guest or visitor in the sanctuary, or either we have a Bible study started. It has been amazing to me. Amen. I've had a guest that has been here twice already this month. My wife has a Bible study started. Someone else has, I think it's Sister Angie, has two Bible studies started. Others have guests. Sister Farouzia, Brother Sister Farouzia have a guest with them this morning and even tonight, and he's been before. Amen. And could that be the reason why all heaven is breaking loose at Landmark right now? It's because we're taking whatever talent we have, whatever God has given us, and that we are using it for the glory of God. That we're not concerned about what everybody else is doing, but we're concerned about what we can do for God, no matter how feeble it is, no matter how small it is, but we are doing something. I'm telling you, there is a clarion call going out to the ordinary. Amen. You may not preach a general conference. You may not travel the world, but there's somebody in your world that needs God. And there's a call going to you to reach them tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at the great mistake of the two talented people. The mistake is that he continually underestimates his own power. That no matter what he accomplishes sometimes, he'll never see it. Because it's not as much as others. When God himself is not even concerned about that. The only thing he's concerned about is that you accomplish what you can accomplish and then give him the glory for giving you the strength to do it. Amen. So he underestimates his own power. What power does a two-talented person have compared with one who has five? The strength, we say, of the five-talented man is in the numbers. There are so many numbers. But the Apostle Paul said, not many mighty. Not many mighty. Hello? Praise God. Amen. We are not going to have a lot of Abraham Lincolns. We're not going to have a lot of George Washingtons. We're not going to have a whole lot of Moses. A lot of Joshua's and Caleb's. Hallelujah. Amen. But God made you, and that's who we have right now. God made me, and that's what we've got right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Moses, but you're dead and gone. Thank you, Joshua, but you're dead and gone. Thank you, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, but your skeleton's in a grave somewhere. But what God has right now is me, and what God has right now is you. And ladies and gentlemen, if he saved you and I for the last days, he must have seen something in us that can get the job done. I want you to celebrate right now with the power that God has given you. Hallelujah. the authority that our God has given you. Someone has said, I am but one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do with God's help, I will do. There was an article published one time, and my point is, I want to give you the advantages of two talented people. There was an article published on the subject of mathematics. It was an article that was so technical that only two or three people in the world were capable of understanding it and appreciating it. It must be very lonely indeed to be a five-talented person, yet they are the ones who seem to be applauded. But it's really the two-talented person that has the high honor of playing his part in obscurity. Jesus said things done in secret would be rewarded openly. So just because a person labors in obscurity doesn't mean they will always be in obscurity. The two-talent person has no audience to cheer him on. He must do his duty without a reporter to record and publish his deeds. Where the five-talent people are the audience and report, that's where the audience and reporters are. They're never far away from them. But the hard thing is to be brave and faithful with no one to encourage, no one there patting you on the back, no one giving you accolades and big reports, to be loyal to God and the church in an atmosphere that is never observed. That is the privilege of the ordinary people only. Could be that the five-talented person wouldn't even be living for God if they had to be ordinary, because they didn't have the strength. But they feast off the recognition. There are five-talented people out there doing great things, but could it be if they were ordinary, they'd be doing greater things in their own court? It is not always a blessing to be the Elvis Presley of whatever it is you do. Ask Elvis. He committed suicide, practically. Hallelujah. Amen. The best place to be and to serve is in the divine will of God. There's not a greater satisfaction. God's not necessarily going to reward us for doing great and mighty exploits, but He will reward us for our faithfulness in serving where He has placed us. The preacher, the teacher, the singer, or other dedicated worker will all hear the same thing, and that is, well done. I promise before God, if you're standing beside me at judgment, and if I get to hear God say, well done, and you step up, where's Sister Sandy that is faithful to clean our church? If she steps up beside me and I hear God say, Sandy, well done. I am not going to stick my nose in the air and ignore her throughout eternity. That very moment, you've got my promise. I'm going to turn and look to you face to face, and I'm going to give you high five and say, we made it! I want somebody to root for your brother. I want somebody to root for your sister. I want us to root for one another. I don't want no envy. I don't want no jealousy. I want us pulling for each other. And so that when we get there and hear him say, well done, we can look at one another and say, we made it! That's all that matters. That's the only thing that matters. Hallelujah. The possessor of one talent, two talents, or five talents, if he's faithful in using his talent to the best of his ability, we'll hear this well done. Amen. The janitor, the general overseer, if serving for Jesus' sake, will hear the same words of the Lord saying it. Galatians 6 and 9 is true. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The two talented people have to do their work without recognition, and they are going to do it every day. the beautiful testimonies that are taking place in homes where some of our precious ladies have to suffer in silence and yet they keep their witness. It's beautiful. Praise God. People on the job that are honest, that don't lose their tempers, that are kind and considerate and are looked up to by their fellow workers. Our young people that go to public schools where there's so much dope and corruption and where there's so many anti-God and anti-Bible things that are taught, and yet they keep their testimony. That is wonderful. And chances are you're going to hear somebody say, "Well done." I'll tell you something else about the two talented people. The two talented people have their place secure in the remembrance and in the trust of Almighty God. Why is there a two talented man in this story at all? Why is he even in there? There was no need for it. The story is complete without him. The lesson is sufficiently plain. If you consider the five talented man on the one hand and the one talented man on the other hand, and why did you have two talents and not three or four? Three would have been halfway between. Four would have been just a little less gifted than the five. But two puts the man almost with the one and underscores what Jesus wanted to teach. This man is ordinary and he's not at all gifted. But without him in the story, the common people would have been absolutely forgotten. Let the one man talent bury his talent. But God's always got the ordinary that he can lean on, and they will get the job done. I'm sorry, but I've seen the five talented people. I've seen them fail. I've seen them fall off the wagon. I've seen them fall short. But I've watched those that plod on come into success. I have watched them win over and over and over again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The average man would have read the story and knew that he wasn't a five-talented man and would have gone away sorrowful because the story was not for him. So out of compassion for the common people, Jesus told out how that one who had only received two talents gained two besides them, and the Lord did not forget to add unto him, "Well done." This is the Lord's recognition of ordinary people. It is his gracious acceptance of commonplace service. It is the character and the beatitude of those who can only do just a little in their thinking. He's saying, "Blessed are you in my eyes, for you shall have your well done in the end." You might have heard the life story of what calls the one-note musician. I don't know. In case you haven't, I'm going to share it with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The one-note musician." We see him following his daily routine of eating, sleeping, until it's time to prepare for the evening. He carefully inspects his violin, and he places it in its case. Looks at his watch, starts for the concert hall. He takes his seat in the orchestra with the other musicians, arranges his score, tunes his instrument. On the arrival of the conductor, the music begins with the leader skillfully bringing in first one group of musicians and then another. And after quite a long time, the crucial moment arrives, and it is time when the one note is played. The conductor turns to him, and his one note sounds forth, just one note. Once more, the orchestra plays, and the one-note man sits quietly throughout the rest of the concert. At the end of the day, he knows that he has done his duty well, earned contentment and peace of mind. One note only. It may be that our part and our work seems very small. A mere one-note piece. Just a one-note piece. But even that is important. If a person is to play well and at the right moment, he must be prepared. This is one of the lessons in the parable of the talents. And I believe it's the underscoring point in the case of the two talented men. It is time for you to play your note. do it well. Do it well. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Would somebody help me praise Him? Would somebody help me exalt Him? Would somebody help me magnify the name of the Lord? One of the greatest pastoral problems is that many people have the notion that they should be like someone else. They're convinced that their experience with the Lord must be dramatic and identical to that some other acquaintance. And they are certain that all spiritual experience fits into a given mold, one mold. Because of this type of thinking, multitudes of people are trying to force their lives and the lives of their friends into certain patterns. Listen, it's interesting that the mockingbird is often named as one of America's finest singers. He can perfectly imitate even an imported nightingale. Thought by many, the poet's included to be the sweetest of all singers. But he degrades his talent by also repeating the rasp of gate hinges. The clack of a typewriter. A mockingbird can do that. Though we may quote the phrases of heroes and angels, but do not find voices for ourselves, we are merely imitators of better men. There would be no 100-odd-piece symphony orchestra if every player was limited to the range and the values of his neighbor. So it is with us. As Christians, we all have our ranges and we all have our own melodies. If we play what others play, our sound is not only unnecessary, it has removed the harmony that we should have contributed from the total song. You need to do your duty in your... Listen, let me say this. If we can't be a bush, let's be a tree. Let's find our place. Am I doing okay? Give me about 5 more minutes, I promise. When, if each would only use the talent they have, if each would do their part, nothing would remain undone. We'd have a full orchestra. I don't know who's holding a triangle, but get ready. Ding. I don't know who's playing that big bass drum, but get ready. It doesn't matter what part we play. Before it's all played out, you're going to get your chance. You're going to get your opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Of all the great massive work the Master has left for the church to do, then our united power would be given to the cause that needs assistance. And the wrong that needs resistance, and God's kingdom would grow with leaps and bounds. Let me tell you what the ordinary is. The ordinary is the drop of water with its countless neighbors forms the ocean. Without a drop of water, just a drop, there would be no ocean. I'm telling you tonight, without you, from the back to the front, from center to circumference, there would be no church. Amen. The grain, the ordinary is the grain of sand with its fellows that spreads the great beaches of our world. He's the kernel of corn producing the fields of tasseled grain. He's the leaf on the tree, which is the myriad that makes the forest green. The blade of grass forming with its kin the beautiful carpets of the earth. They may be only a two-talented person. They may be unknown, undistinguished, but in union, together, he is a power to be reckoned with. It is the ordinary people that must do most of the work. And let the ordinary say amen, because it is the truth. You're shining tonight. Amen. Both in this world and in God's kingdom, maybe no one person does a great thing, but together they do more than all the gifted people can do put together. Without ordinary people, the gifted wouldn't even be great. Who are they going to be gifted to? But together. If only two talented people could see the strength they have in numbers and each one doing their job, what could be accomplished for the Lord? Let's stand. Hallelujah. This is a call to the ordinary. But I think we ought to give you honor. I don't know who you are. I feel like I'm one. Amen. I don't feel like I've accomplished this time in my life the things that I would have loved to have accomplished. But I got the word from God tonight that says it doesn't matter. I'm doing what I will to do. And that's what I want to do with everyone else in the kingdom. Amen. And so I'm asking for the one that doesn't have to have recognition. I'm asking for the one that doesn't have to have the spotlight. I'm asking for the one that your name doesn't have to be in neon lights. I'm asking for the one that simply wants to accomplish something, great or small, whatever it may be, for the glory of God, to come and stand with me. And together, everything that we wish to do, when it comes into fruition, when it is done, will be a great exploit for the kingdom of God, because all of us are going to accomplish what that is in our lives, the will of God. So let us lift our hands. Let us lift our voices. Let us praise Him together. Let us exalt the name of the Lord, giving Him glory, honor, and praise. Worshiping Him tonight for His divine ability. Somebody's going to affect your school. Somebody's going to affect your job. Someone's going to affect your family. Yeah. 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 Holy Ghost. Spirit, by your power, we worship your name.
Lord, I love
oh, yes.
to worship your name and give you
and we give you praise.
Worthy of praise, Lord, I live.
We never know. We never know. The simple invitation at a grocery store. You know, let me tell you this. Barnabas was the man before Paul stepped in the scene. When he teamed up with Paul and taught Paul and introduced Paul and shared Paul with all the brethren and shared with them how you can trust him now. He's not a murderer. He didn't understand. He thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians because this Christ guy, and now he knows who Jesus is. He's preaching his name. He after that, we didn't hear anything else about Barnabas, but it was all about Paul. What if I say, "Hey, what's your name?" And they say, "Well, this is my name. Why don't you visit Landmark?" "I think I will. I've been looking for a church." And they come. And ultimately, after the years have passed, they wind up pastoring a church of 3,000 people. It's the ordinary people that have reached the five talented people. Amen. And so we can give God the glory for letting us do that great work. I'm speaking to you, Landmark, myself included. Amen. The only reason I stand taller than you tonight is because the platform is higher. I'm just telling you, there's a work that we can do. And there's a great thing that we can accomplish. And let's just go after it, no matter how small or minute or simple it may be. Let's prove to God that we can be faithful in all things. God richly bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Shake.